This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Cheryl Pollard, head of equity at Affin Hwang, is with us on the grill on the Market Watch. Cheryl, what is your sense of the KLCI and basically the sentiment trading on that at this point in time?
If you look at in terms of our outlook for the market, I think it's very hard to see the market breaking out of this 1600, 1900 range because of the lack of real earnings growth that we see. I think most of the funds are already cashed up going into this year. And if you look at where they're positioned in expensive defensives, and there's basically a desperate search for yield. Even, you know, a lot of funds are actually overweight in banks, and I think this is a pretty consensus call. So there is a risk of, I think, overcrowded positioning in this space. And we've seen how expensive names have broken down with a minor change in fundamentals. For example, recently you saw the glove players selling off due to maybe a 1-2% strengthening in the ringgit. But the other side of this is that since there's so much cash on the sidelines, if there's just an incrementally positive news flow in terms of the economic front, or in terms of supportive government policy, or even some positive news flow in terms of beaten down sectors, there will probably be a wall of money chasing it.
Well, Cheryl, Finance Minister YB Lim Guan Eng and Japanese brokerage firm Nomura got into a mini tiff last week over concerns of fiscal slippage that could trigger capital outflows. Are Nomura's concerns real, and should this be a worry for the market?
Okay, let's recap what Nomura actually stated in their report. They said that they were actually concerned that Malaysia's fiscal deficit would widen from 3.7% this year, 2018, to 3.9% in 2019. Now, let's contrast this with what our finance minister, Lim Guan Eng, said in the budget. He actually guided that the fiscal deficit will be coming down to 3.4%. Now, the key concern that Nomura has, which I think is shared by most economists, is that the lower oil prices would hinder Malaysia's ability to bring down the budget deficit. So the assumption used in the budget was about, I think, $70 to $72 per barrel, and the current oil price is about $60. So every $10 barrel change in oil price will reduce government revenue by about $3 billion, which is about a 0.2% increase in the fiscal deficit. Now, let's look at the reason why our finance minister is so confident that they can achieve the 3.4% target. So one of the reasons is because the sales and services tax collection for the 2 months of $5.4 billion has really exceeded their target of about $4 billion. So this means that the revenue gap, which is left by the removal of GST, will not be as large as expected. I think during the old days, GST used to bring in about $44 billion per annum. And if the current pace of sales and service tax collections can continue, the SST could be as high as $30 billion, which means the shortfall is only about $14 billion. And initially, the gap was supposed to be as large as $20 billion. The other thing is that I think the budget revenue doesn't include a lot of these additional revenue measures which they have announced, which is things like the sugar tax or even this IRB voluntary disclosure. I mean, recently I heard that the target is to collect, what, $10 billion from 1 million taxpayers, and they've extended the deadline from March to July. So the government has to work very hard to make sure these extra revenue measures actually yield revenue, and they probably need to work on reducing expenditure as well. So it's not impossible to achieve, but it is definitely harder under a lower price oil environment, especially when I think 31% of our government revenue is now coming from oil-related sources. You must remember that Malaysia is the only country in Asia that benefits from oil prices rise from both a fiscal and a current account perspective. So it also works in reverse as well.
Cheryl, the ringgit appreciated some ways against the dollar. Right now we're trading at 4.1065 against the greenback. What's really been behind this appreciation and how sustainable is it?
If we look at the strength of the ringgit, it's really a function of two factors. Firstly, we have dollar weakness after the Fed indicated a greater flexibility in terms of the timing and the quantum of interest rate hikes. So they're basically not on an autopilot mode anymore. In fact, if you look at what the market is pricing in, they are pricing in no rate hikes in 2019 and possibly a rate cut in 2020. So the second reason supporting ringgit strength is the rise in oil prices. You know, as I said earlier, I think Malaysia is the only country in Asia that benefits from higher oil prices as net oil and gas exports are 3.5% of GDP. But if you look at the quantum of the ringgit's rise, it's actually in the middle of the pack. The currencies that have done well are those that have been really beaten down last year, which is like the Indonesian rupiah, which has strengthened by about 2.5% year to date. As to whether the ringgit strength can continue, well, I'm not a currency expert, but the momentum is there. And as long as the Fed pauses and oil prices continue to move up, the ringgit should be able to move up.
Well, Cheryl, shifting to earnings, it was a pretty bleak 2018 last year with many corporates revising their earnings downwards. Are you expecting earnings to stabilize this year?
Okay, let's rewind back to the beginning of 2018. I mean, yeah, when people were very optimistic. And remember, we were coming off a very good 2017 when Malaysia posted, I think, positive earnings growth for the first time in 3 years. So at the beginning of the year, they had 7 to 8% earnings growth for 2018. But unfortunately, I think last year was really a year of consistent disappointments, both in terms of revenue and margins. And by the time, you know, the year has ended, I think analysts had revised down their earnings growth to almost zero. Now, for 2019, you know, analysts are always very optimistic at the beginning of the year, but this year less so. So they're expecting maybe 5 to 6% growth. And if you look at where it's coming from, the bulk of it is coming from the banking sector, which is one of the KLCI's largest components. So banks are expected to post single-digit growth on the back of some loan growth and a steadier net interest margin as the cost of funding has stabilized. So if you look on an overall basis, especially if banks disappoint, I reckon there is still some downside to 2019 earnings. And that doesn't augur well for the market.
Cheryl, if you were entirely domestic Malaysia-focused investing, what would be potential bright spots for them, equity markets, oil markets, ringgits? What would you be considering, even property? What would be potential bright spots?
Well, I think it's hard to see potential bright spots right now. If you look at most funds, I think they are holding a very, very large amount of cash. I think probably the only time they've held more cash is during the financial crisis. I think right now the sector that's showing some earnings growth, and this is in the context of very poor earnings growth overall, is the banking sector, which is single digit. So, you know, when overall things are not that great, even single digit growth looks pretty good. Yeah, so it's not like 2015, 2016 when the ringgit was weak and we could look at the export sector. I think this time, the export sector is not a sector of choice either.
Cheryl, one last question. We've got 1 minute. Is there a proposition to be in cash at this point in time with interest rates moving in their direction?
Yes, as I said earlier, we have a fairly large cash position, and I think with interest rates hopefully, well, not in Malaysia, but overseas going up, I think it's still positive to have that cash as a defensive buffer for the market.
Okay, thanks so much for your time, Cheryl. Cheryl Pollard, Deputy Head of Equity for Affin Hwang Asset Management. Stay tuned for 9:30 news, and after that, Tan Chung Han talks to K. Gunasegaran, the financial planner and money coach from Wealth Street on behavioral coaching, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.